Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Well, we're living in very, very interesting days, aren't we? Volcanoes going off and earthquakes happening, natural disasters, the economy. As a nation, nobody knows who to vote for or where on earth what's going to happen in a few weeks' time. And it's just the signs of the times, isn't it? Signs of the last days, the end times, and all these things. Jesus said, don't worry about all these things. There's wars, there's rumours of wars. You know, it's just the word being fulfilled in our lifetime. And I don't know what that does for you, but for me, it just highlights the sense of urgency that there is for God's kingdom purposes to be outworked here on earth. And we see earth groaning and creaking in anticipation, wanting Jesus to return. The earth is kind of responding to what is going on it or in it, or, you know, and, you know, if the earth is groaning and crying out for Jesus to return, then I don't know how much more do we want to see that take place. But there's some things that God is doing and wants to do before he comes back that we are part of seeing the fulfillment of. And there's an urgency, I believe, in the days that we're alive in. And I don't know about you, but I want to be right in the middle of what God's doing, what he's saying, and everything. Last week, Pastor Steve Kennedy was here. That was a great message, wasn't it? I think we spent half the time laughing. But, you know, sometimes that kind of message just opens you up and then the Holy Spirit goes, you know, right into your spirit. But for me, it was a really profound word that I believe God is wanting to speak into our life as a people, as a church. And he's been speaking about really his heart for people over a period of time now. And coming into what we've described as the promised land or our inheritance is really the overall kind of theme over the last 6 to 8 months. And the whole thing about advancement in the last few weeks as part of that, you know, when you come into something, you have a breakthrough, you don't just want to then settle and say, well, I've had a breakthrough. What you want to do then, you want to take possession of everything that breakthrough was for. And as part of that, God has been and is wanting to reveal more of his heart for us as people, but also for people that don't know him yet at this point. And so what we're going to look at this morning is the title, if you like, of this morning's message is Who's Your Miracle? Okay, who is your miracle? There are miracles waiting to happen every day of the week. There are miracles waiting to happen every month. There are people's lives that you know, that I know, that you work with, their friends, neighbours. There might be somebody in this place today where, you know, it's your day or your week or this is your month for a miracle. And faith always has to have a target. Faith has to have a specific output or a specific outlet for a specific purpose. And the question today is, who is your miracle? Who is my miracle? Who is it that God wants to move in their life in a supernatural way through your life, through my life? We have a corporate vision and we move in that together. But what makes up that corporate vision? It's made up with many individuals who are carrying that corporate vision, but it's also made up of many individuals who are seeing their part of that corporate vision take place. So you can have a body of people, but a body of people is made up of a whole number of individual people who are part, or individual members, if you like, that are part of the body, but each member of the body, each part of the body has a specific function for that body to be healthy and for that body to grow and for that body to fulfill its purpose of why it is here. And so we all know that we're anointed as people because we're believers and we have the Holy Spirit in our lives. where God has called you at this season in your life, in terms of the workplace or in terms of the home or whatever season you are in as a person or in your family, maybe you're in this season, God anoints you for what he wants to do in and through your life in this season. But as part of that, there is something that overarches any season of our life. And we find that in the Great Commission in Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, where Jesus gives the Great Commission. And he spoke also in Acts 1, verses 5 through to 8, where he told the disciples that they were going to receive, when they received the Holy Spirit, they were going to receive power to enable them to be a witness. And a witness is more than words, it's a lifestyle, it's the way we live as believers, because your whole life is a witness. It's not just what comes out of our mouths, it's our life is a witness. And so what Jesus was saying is the Holy Spirit is going to empower you to live a life that is a witness, an example, whether it's in your community, the city, the nation, or beyond, as it talks about there. But the Great Commission in Matthew 28 also speaks about Jesus saying, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Now, therefore, you go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And surely, Jesus then says, I'll be with you to the very end of the age. Now, what was Jesus' main message when he came to the earth? Right. The kingdom, okay? His main message that he came with was, there is a kingdom. This kingdom, you can't see it in the natural. It's not something that is tangible initially that you can see over here or see over there. Jesus said in Luke 17, verse 21, he said, the kingdom isn't over here or over there. The kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is within you. So the way that God manifests his kingdom life so that it can be seen on earth is by his kingdom life coming into us as people. Because Jesus said it's not over there. It's not a kingdom in the natural that you can see with authorities in the natural that you can see. There's a kingdom that has a king. There's a kingdom that has rule and reign. There's a kingdom that has authority. There's a kingdom that has power. There's a kingdom that has life, and this kingdom has eternal life. And this kingdom isn't just found over there or over here, but this kingdom I want to put within you so that this kingdom life grows up, and this kingdom that cannot be seen in the natural can then be seen expressed through your life and my life, so that the kingdom of heaven does become something that is visible and tangible because it's expressed through our lives as a witness, as a people that have been anointed with the Holy Spirit and power, of people that have been anointed with power from on high, as it says in Acts 1:8, so that we can be witnesses, demonstrations, examples, living testimonies of the goodness of God, of the mercy of God, of the grace of God, of the love of God, of the power of God, because of what God's done in your life. There's an overflow, there's an expression of his goodness, his grace, whatever he's done in your life, there's an expression of that life that flows out of you. Okay, let's have a look in John chapter 15. We'll go there and to start with, John 15. We're going to look at a few verses towards the end. Of John 15. So who's your miracle? Who's your miracle waiting to happen? There are miracles out there waiting to happen, and God has put your name on that miracle. He's put your name next to that miracle to take place in somebody else's life. How many of you believe that? He has appointed, he has designated, he has made ready, he has sorted out already miracles that he wants to do through your life and my life. Now let's just have a look before we read into a few verses. We've talked just briefly about God's kingdom life. Now, There's a lot of talk in the church these days, all over the place, about God wanting to give the church influence. And God has called us as believers to influence, to be people of influence. But God doesn't just want it to leave it there. There's got to be more than kingdom influence going on. You see, in God's kingdom, there's a king. And we all know his name. His name is Jesus. And so Jesus rules and reigns in that kingdom. But this kingdom isn't a temporal kingdom, it's an everlasting kingdom. And so God doesn't just want us to think or believe or pray for influence in different situations. What God wants to do is establish his rule and reign. So God puts his kingdom life in people. He doesn't just, like we've said, kingdom over there, kingdom over here. Where is it? God says the kingdom is made tangible by coming into a person through salvation. And so God wants not just to influence people's life with his kingdom, but he wants to rule and reign in people's life with his kingdom. So let's use yesterday's outreach in Southampton as an example, okay? Dave Fraser gave me a sheet here with some one-liner, kind of one-liners from different people that were there yesterday. And let's just kind of see the context of what was going on and then what we want to see take place, because our faith needs to be pitched for the right thing. Our faith must be in line with God's purpose or God's word or what he wants to do. Because God's word talks about kingdom rule and reign. Okay? So let's have a look. Here's somebody saying about the outreach in South Holmes and the Easter egg hunt and other things that were going on there. This is brilliant. What else does your church do? Can my wife come to your women's conference? Yeah, of course she can. Somebody else said, here's my email address. Can you email me details about the church and what you do? Here's another one. I'm really looking forward to the Love Horsham team coming to help in my garden again. They're taking a huge pressure off me and my wife. Brilliant. Thank you so much for all you have done for us. Why do you do it? That's another tech story. Another one. We were so excited. We couldn't wait for you to come. We come to everything you put on. It's fun. We love it. Here's another one. This is great for the community. We so appreciate you all. Then somebody else says, the children have really enjoyed working together as teams, even brothers and sisters. It was great for them to mix with other children so well. Okay, another lady said, one lady that we visit regularly, rarely goes out, yet today she came out, enjoyed the fresh air, the sunshine, chatted with people, actually had a cup of tea and watched the children enjoy themselves. Somebody else said, you're all so happy. What's the secret? Somebody else, the last one here. I met a lady who we used to give food to in the storehouse a couple of years ago. She now brings her children to Little Builders and to Holiday Club and was very keen to know more. Now, what do you call that? Kingdom influence or kingdom rule and reign? Right, that is kingdom influence, okay? Now, what does God want to do? He wants to establish his rule and reign in every one of these people's lives, all right? So we want to thank God for the influence, the favor that he gives in any way that we're reaching out, whether individually or together, in a more organized outreach like yesterday, in whatever way. But our faith needs to be pitched for kingdom rule and reign, not just kingdom influence. When is there rejoicing in heaven? When one sinner repents, heaven has a party. All right? So, what is going on at the moment in heaven regarding, say, using this example, yesterday's outreach? What is going on in heaven? Anticipation. Yeah, they're getting ready for one, but see, what was going on yesterday? In heaven, it was like a big shout of encouragement going on. Go on, you guys. Love people, serve people, pray for people, give them the gospel, share, demonstrate, whatever that was going on, because heaven loves to party. Some of you, you're not sure about that one. Heaven loves to party. I mean, it wouldn't be in the Bible if God didn't enjoy a party. But what does God party over? He parties over not kingdom influence, but kingdom rule and reign. He parties over the point where somebody bows their knee, where they repent of all their sin, and they ask him to come into their life, and there's a total transformation. That's when there's a party in heaven. So we want to thank God for the influence and the favor, but influence must lead to kingdom rule and reign. See, that's why Jesus said, you see, at the moment, if you use this as an example, the kingdom is here, it's within us, so we're taking the kingdom to them, but God wants to establish that kingdom in them. So there's that rule and reign taking place. And so we want to rejoice and give thanks to the Lord for the favor, but our faith. And I know the guys who are leading stuff in South Holmes, yeah, brilliant what happened yesterday. But they're like, well, that's not enough. There's so much more to take place. Let's have a look in John 15 for a moment. And I'm just going to put my glasses on, if that's all right. Have you all seen these before? Oh, there you go. There you go. I can actually read the thing now. Okay, John chapter 15 for a minute. Verse 16. This is Jesus. You did not choose me. No, it was I who chose you. But I not only chose you to belong to me, I also commission you to go and bear fruit that will be of eternal significance. As you go to do that, the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Those things that you know to be consistent with my will. So, we want, what is kingdom rule and reign? Kingdom rule and reign is making disciples. Reaching out and witnessing is going with God's favor upon our lives because God's anointed us, and our faith needs to be in the power of the gospel. Because what does Romans 1:16 say? I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. And we're going to look at that verse in a minute. But our faith needs to be in the power of the gospel, the power of the word. You might feel weak, you might feel insignificant, you might feel like, I don't know if I'm going to be any good at this, but actually all Jesus, all Romans says there is have your faith in the power of the gospel. And it's the gospel, because it is God's power for salvation. What does that mean? It's God's power to reveal Jesus. It's God's power to show people their need for Jesus. It's God's power to reveal to people their need to know Jesus. So we don't have to try and do that in our own effort. What he says is, I've given you the Holy Spirit to enable you, to empower you to live as a witness. I've anointed you to live that life. And as you go with the gospel, which is the power of God for salvation, then I'm going to be at work showing people who I am, revealing to them who I am, not just for kingdom influence, but so there can be kingdom rule and reign. So when Jesus talks about the kingdom of heaven advancing forcefully and forceful men lay hold of it, it's not talking about a prayer meeting. It's not talking about a preach from a platform on a Sunday morning. It's not talking about just an outreach where we might serve people and love people. That's kingdom influence. What Jesus is talking about, a kingdom advancing forcefully, is God's kingdom rule and reign coming into somebody's life. That's how God's kingdom advances. You see, if the same number of people are saved, we can have incredible meetings. We can have great prayer meetings. We can be excited about certain things. But if people's lives are not being transformed and people are not being saved and becoming disciples, then is God's kingdom rule and reign actually advancing and being extended? Because God's kingdom rule and reign is more than kingdom influence. You see, we can influence many, many people's lives in our community. We can love people, serve people. We can meet needs. We can have a great reputation. We can have favor. We can have the local authority asking us to do more in different areas. We can have all of that stuff. That's kingdom influence. But in terms of eternal significance, unless somebody is born again, then it just stays as kingdom influence, which is not eternal. Kingdom influence is temporal unless it becomes kingdom rule and reign in somebody's life. And God's kingdom rule and reign is not just a quick prayer from somebody to give their life to Jesus and then we don't see them again. God's kingdom rule and reign is the Great Commission. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, teaching them to what? Obey. Teaching them to live under and in my kingdom, rule and reign. So that's where we're pitching our faith. That's what we're going for, to see God's kingdom rule and reign into people's lives. But what it says here in John 15, it says here in the NIV that I've appointed you to bear fruit. Now, the word appoint there actually means to be commissioned, or it means to ordain. I've ordained you. Now, the word ordain means I have put holy orders upon you. That's pretty cool. How many of you know that everything that is holy is eternal? And so what God says here, what Jesus is saying here, is I've appointed you to bear fruit and fruit. So I've commissioned you. I've ordained you. I've anointed you. My Holy Spirit is upon you. You have my life. You have my power. You have everything you need, because I've not just given you enough for today. I've given you everything that you will need so you can access that at any point, so that you can see me do what I want to do through you at any given moment in your life, because you have the full resources of who I am in you, because the kingdom's not over there or over here. My kingdom is within you. So wherever you go, you have the fullness of his kingdom life that can be released at any given moment to meet a situation with faith and with power or with love or with mercy or with grace or with compassion, whatever you need, because you are full of God's kingdom life. All right, let me find another verse. Turn to Romans chapter 1 then. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. I could never be ashamed of believing and proclaiming the gospel. I know that it is God's powerful way of making salvation available to everyone who believes in Jesus. First the Jews, to whom he came as man, then also for people of other nations. All who believe the good news of Jesus are saved because they are placed in a right relationship with God, regardless of who they are or of what they have done in the past. That's great, isn't it? That's God's justice. In other translations, the word it used there is a righteousness of God is revealed, okay? What is the righteousness of God? The righteousness of God is God's justice being exercised. The righteousness of God is God's justice to to forgive us, basically. So God's righteousness it revealed is God's justice revealed through the cross to make it possible for us to be saved or for us to know him. And so what Paul is talking about here is this gospel, which is the power of God for salvation, is God's righteousness being revealed to set us free or to forgive us or to stamp upon us not guilty because somebody else has paid the penalty. It says you may go free because God's justice has been exercised through the cross. And so this is what this is kind of expounding here. That through the cross we've been placed in right relationship with God, regardless of who we are or what we may have done in the past. This relationship with God can only be received as a gift from him and is given to those who place their faith in him or faith in Jesus and what he has done for them. It is a matter of faith from beginning to end. Nothing we could ever do by our own efforts could ever make us pleasing to God or place us in a relationship of righteousness with him, of being made fully acceptable to him. This is born out of the fact that the scriptures declare that those who are acceptable to God will live by faith. So, God's given us kingdom life. It's not over there, it's not over here, it's within us. That's God's kingdom rule and reign. God wants to take every relationship, every person that you are praying for, believing for, reaching out to, he wants to move that from influence to rule and reign. Now, God wants that more than you do and more than I do. So we just want to work with God's heart and with his will to see that happen. How many of you know what it says in 1 John 5, 14 and 15? That we can approach God boldly. We can ask anything. When we ask anything according to his will, we can be bold and confident knowing that he hears us. And that knowing when he hears us, that we know that we have what we ask of him. Man, that encourages your faith. So if we know that his will is to establish his rule and reign into somebody in your family or a friend of yours or whoever you're reaching out to, somebody at work, then we just got to line up with his heart and his will because he wants to put his rule and reign into their lives. Let's just have a look at Luke chapter 10 for a moment and kind of just make this a little bit more practical. There was something that Steve said last week when he was here that I've kind of been looking at during the week. And he kind of said it really quickly at the end, I think. And we didn't really go into any detail. So we're just going to look at it a little bit more for a few moments. Now, we as a church, we're generally pretty good at organising stuff, putting things on, doing stuff. And, you know, we can have a full calendar doing lots of things. And, you know, we can put on a fun day we've got in the middle of May. We could put on that fun day. We're organising it and it's going to be a great day. It'll be well organised, well put together. We're going to have at least a couple of thousand people there on that day. And whatever we do the following Sunday, the next day. In June, we've got our anniversary weekend. And we can have a great fun day and a great Sunday and all the things that we do. And in one sense, we're pretty good at organising stuff and putting things on. You know, we're great at doing events. But events must always serve the process. Events are not the highlights that we build everything up to. Events actually serve what we're doing day in, day out, where our faith is being activated daily in our lives. And events are great things to bring people to, but we don't want to move from one thing to the next thing and wait for those things. It's what God wants to do each day, day in, day out, week in, week out, through you, through me, through our life together, that's actually going to reap more eternal significance than just events in and of themselves. Now, we have a great opportunity on these events to really host people and provide a great atmosphere and environment for the community. And, you know, just from the stories yesterday from people in South Holmes area, you know, their comments are basically, look, when you guys are around, it's such a great atmosphere. Things are different. You're happy. What's the secret? And all of that, you know. Brilliant. What a great question to be asked. And, you know, what's the secret? Well, here you go. This is the secret. Well, firstly, we want to influence our community more than anybody else. Because that's where it's got to start. Many people are trying to influence people in different ways. But we, as believers, as Christians, want to have the most influence out of anybody out there. Because whoever has the most influence rules the day. Is that right? But we don't have influence by lording it over people. And we don't have influence by trying to control people or manipulate people or anything like that. We don't have a secret agenda that, you know, up our sleeve in that sense. You know, we're a church, a community of believers, and we are totally open about wanting to bless our community, love Horsham, and demonstrate the love of Jesus into people's lives. And absolutely, we know that when somebody comes to know Jesus, they step into their purpose, they step into their destiny, they step into the meaning of life, and suddenly things just all come together because they're created for a relationship with God, with Jesus. So what does Romans 1:16 say? I'm not ashamed of the gospel. So we're not trying to do something quietly by just having a fun day, for example, and we're keeping the message very quiet. You know, we better just give them a nice time, otherwise they won't like us. The community, the town needs to know that whether it's this church or any other church, that when the Christians are around, when the believers do stuff, and when we're around, the atmosphere, the environment is one of safety, it's one of hope, it's one that I want to be in, I want my kids to be in. I just want to be with these people, because wherever they are, whatever they're doing, it's like it's just great, and I love it, like some of these people have said. So we want to be the most influential people around. But why? So that God's kingdom rule and reign can come into their lives. So that people can receive everything that God has already purposed and appointed for them. That's why the question this morning is, who is your miracle out there? Because in the same way God has appointed things for your life, God has also appointed things for many other lives. Last week, what Steve was talking about really was our responsibility as believers for people's lives. That individually, we have a responsibility for other people's lives. You know, it's not just a corporate responsibility as a church. As a church, we want to see things happen. But what does that mean in reality? It means that corporate thing is you and me being personally responsible. And when you put us all together, we have a corporate thing that is going on. And so there's a personal ownership, personal responsibility of wanting to see, not just wanting to. Let's put it this way. There's a difference, isn't there, between I'd like something to happen and I want something to happen. Many times as people in life, they say, oh, I really want to do this, or I really want to do that. And actually what they're saying is, I'd really like to do that. How many of you know that if you want to do something, you do it? Doesn't matter whether you can't afford it, somehow you manage to do it. Or if you haven't got the time, somehow you find the time when you want to do something. So like and want are two very different things. We all would like to see many, many, many more people saved. But God wants to move that like into want. Now, many of us would say, well, I want to see people saved. Okay, but let's kind of say we would all like to see more happen, but do we really want to see more happen? Sorry, it's not as funny as last week. Okay, let's have a look at Luke chapter 10. Parable of the Good Samaritan. Once an expert of the religious law stood to test Jesus by asking, "Teacher, what must I do to receive eternal life?" What an interesting question. What must I do to receive eternal life? Jesus replied, "What does the law say about this? What does it teach you?" The man said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and with all and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered your own question correctly," Jesus replied. "If you put these words into action, you will live." Interesting. Jesus is talking about an eternal living, not just a temporal living. The guy didn't understand that. He said, if you do what you've just said to me, you will live. Okay? You will have eternal life. Knowing he failed to do this fully, he then asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus used this illustration. A man was going from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by bandits who stripped him of his clothes, beat him up and left him lying half dead on the roadside. When a priest came along and saw the man, he crossed to the other side of the road. A Levite also reacted in the same way. But a Samaritan traveler came to where the man was lying. Now, obviously, in the context that Jesus was speaking this, a Samaritan, because he was speaking to Jewish people here, a Samaritan was not somebody that, as many of you might know, the Jews associated with, spent any time with. So Jesus has just used an example of two Jewish priests, or a priest and then a Levite, coming across the same scenario, but crossing the other side and walking away. And now he uses the scenario, which he knows is going to upset people, because he's about to basically say, not just imply, that the Samaritan, the person that is not supposed to help this person, he's the one that's actually going to live out what the guy's just answered a few moments before. So what does he say? A Samaritan traveler came to where the man was lying. Seeing him there, he felt sorry for him, went to him and dressed his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. He then placed the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn to care for him. On the following day, he gave 2 silver coins to the innkeeper with instructions to look after him. "When I return," he said, "I will cover any other expenses you have incurred." Then Jesus asked, "Which of these do you consider was the true neighbor to the man who was robbed?" And the expert in the religious law replied, "The one who had compassion on him." Then Jesus told him, "Well, go and follow his example." Now, there's just a number of things, just very briefly in here, that Steve kind of touched on very, very quickly. But we just want to just make what we're talking about practical for a moment. God is wanting to earth our faith. God doesn't want our faith to just stay in "I would like" territory. God wants our faith to be in action territory. Faith is a verb. A verb is a doing word. So faith is something you do, not something you have. James said that, didn't he? "You show me your faith by what you do, and I'll show you my faith." I'll show you my faith by what I do. So it's not just about having something, it's what you do with it. You see, you and me, we're anointed with the Holy Spirit and power. Now, at this moment, do you need to be moving with anointed and with power at this moment? I mean, you want to be sitting there with faith, receiving whatever God's saying to you at this moment. Hopefully he's saying something to you. But at this moment, you're not having to release any anointing or any power at this moment, right? So you might be sitting there now saying, well, I don't feel that anointed and I don't feel that powerful. But actually, you have got the kingdom of God within you. You have the Holy Spirit in you right now. You don't just have a measure of the Spirit, you have the fullness of the Spirit. Now, how you operate and how you move with the fullness of the Holy Spirit will be in relation to the measure of faith that you have at that moment. And according to the measure of faith that you have will be the measure of what is then released. But it's not a question of I don't have enough. You have everything you need for what God wants to do in you and through you. But it's really to do with the measure of faith. Do you see what is then released? Now, how do you grow in faith? By walking forward. You grow in faith by exercising it. You grow in faith by putting your faith to work. That's how you grow in faith. So God loves to put us in situations where we feel slightly out of our depth, slightly beyond what is comfortable. That's how your faith grows. Because at that moment, it's like, man, I've got to trust God at this moment because I'm not sure if anything's going to happen. Or I don't feel full of power. Or I don't feel anointed with the Holy Spirit. Well, it's only at that moment when you take a step of faith and you speak something or you lay hands on something or you act in response to what the Holy Spirit's saying. It's only when you take that step of faith that the Holy Spirit is then released. Now, on one level, we know some of this, but in terms of seeing God's kingdom life being released and people's lives being changed, transformed, there's some actions, very practical ones that we need to take. So what does this guy do? This Samaritan turns up. Now, the guy who's beaten up is a very practical parable, very practical story Jesus is giving. But there's many people out there, you know, I know, where their lives are beaten up. In some way or other, you know, with where they're at as people. They might not be physically beaten up. They might be emotionally beaten up. They might be mentally beaten up. In relationally, they might be beaten up in terms of just they've had enough. They don't know which way to turn. Their hope might be completely destroyed. I don't know what it might be, okay? But lives out there in certain ways. What does this guy do? There's a number of things here we just want to look at. Because part of the question for you and for me is, it's a little bit more somber this week, isn't it, the word? I know last week was like brilliant, you know, but coming away from last week, it's like that's brilliant, and hopefully that has inspired faith and stuff, but at the same time, right, what's the reality of this stuff? It was real last week, but it's like, what's the earthing of this? What does it really look like in our lives? Because we can pray, we can dream, we can think of what it'd be like this or what it'd be like that. But actually, what does it really look like in real life, you know, to actually live out what last week was about and what we're talking about this week? And this is what it says here. It says, the Samaritan traveller came to where the man was lying. Okay? So first of all, you got to come to somebody's life, first of all, okay? Well, he came to the point of where this guy was. Then what does it say? Seeing him there. So firstly, you got to come to somebody's life and then see what's going on in it. Yeah. See, we can come to people's lives but not see anything. We can come to people's lives and say, well, he's a good mate or he's a good person or whatever. But actually, what does God want to do? Because for many people, the need is not obvious. But it's in there going on. And when we come to people's lives, God wants to show us. He wants us to see what's going on. Because once you see something, what happens? Seeing him there, he felt sorry or he had compassion. Now, for me, I don't know about you guys. We could pray for half an hour here at the end of the message in a couple of minutes for God just to release loads of compassion. You know, you could pray in tongues, you can cry out to the Lord and all of that. God, I thank you for your compassion. I thank you for a release of this and that and the other. But where's the compassion actually going to be released? When you see a need. When you come across a situation and the Holy Spirit shows you something and suddenly compassion, all this like, man, See, compassion is released when you see a need. Sometimes, I know it's different people. I know you guys who are part of the team for the Child Contact Center. You know, the amount of times where you've had to really hold it together or try and hold it together when a parent might be saying goodbye to their child and they're not going to see him for a couple of weeks, or and there's just the parent is upset and they're trying to hold it together. The child's upset and you're there and you're trying to hold it together because you're, you know, the team person or the you know, and as soon as they've gone, you're like, oh, you know, and why? Because what's that? You see the reality of the need in somebody's life, and compassion is, it's not just an emotion of, oh, you know, there's a compassion that's released. But with that compassion, there's a God, do something. God, move in their life, you know. It's compassion that moves us to respond, but not just with emotion. Let's have a look and see what else it says here. So first of all, we've got to come to somebody's life. See, let God show it if it's not obvious. See the need. There's compassion that then releases. He felt sorry for him. Then look, he went to him and dressed his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. So he did something practical. There was a practical need, so he met that practical need, okay? He did something. In this situation, it was dressing his wounds. For another person, it might be helping him out with some furniture or supplying some food or giving clothes to them. It might be putting a roof over their head for a couple of days. I don't know what it might be. It might be just literally sitting down because somebody just needs to offload all the concerns of their life. They just need to tip everything out that's going on inside them. And you might just need to sit there for an hour listening to somebody just blah about their life. And you're just sitting there. But that, for many, is the starting point of just beginning to put some bandage on their wounds, that they found somebody that will just sit there and listen to them and not judge them, not criticize them, not tell them it's their fault or they're an idiot or whatever, but actually just to sit there and listen to somebody just release all the stuff that's going on inside of them. Then it says here, then he placed the man on his own donkey. Now, Steve said something about this last week. The guy didn't have his own donkey, the other guy, but he placed him on his own donkey. And I think last week he said something about, you know, if you're bringing people to church or to something the church is doing, then bring them in your own car. You know, don't say meet you there or whatever. Or you go to their house if you need to bring their car because there's more than you can get in yours. You know, you go and meet them at their house and you pick them up and you all come together, you know, and in two cars or whatever you might need to do if you can't get them all in yours. But it's just a very practical thing here, he's saying. So he put him on his own donkey. So he used his own resources. He used whatever he had that was of his own to meet the practical circumstances of the situation. And then what does it say? He took him to an inn to care for him. So what do we have so far? First of all, this man, the Samaritan, came to the man, saw the need, had compassion, went over to him, began to dress the wounds, do something practical, whether he listened to him or dressed his wounds or began to serve him, help him in some way. He then placed the man, put the man on his own donkey. Then he took the man to an inn, not just to drop him off, but to care for him. So this Samaritan's being inconvenienced here. He was on his way. He was on a journey. He had his daily schedule. He had his iPhone or his Filofax or his whatever going on, his schedule that he was sticking to. But something cropped up on the way. And the reality is, if we're all really, really honest in our lives, we can't organize the Holy Spirit. We can't organize what God wants to do in somebody else's life when it suits us, when it fits our schedule. The story Steve used last week was Jesus entered Jericho, but it says he was passing through. He obviously wasn't going to stay there. He was passing through, but on the way, Zacchaeus climbed the tree, and it doesn't say, but whether the Holy Spirit said to Jesus, go over there, his name's Zacchaeus, call him out the tree and go to his house, he probably did. And he was inconvenienced because he was obviously on his way to do something else. And he ended up going to this guy's house, but what happened? He says salvation came to the whole house But it wasn't just the household that got that also got blessed. But he then said to all the people, "If I've taken anything from you, I'll give it back four times. I'll give you back four times as much." So actually, the whole town. Something happened to the whole town just because Jesus was prepared to be inconvenienced out of his schedule for a few moments. So there's a reality of I'd like to see things happen. I want to see things happen. Let's just have a because we need to finish this morning. He then placed a man on his donkey, took him to an inn to care for him. So he was prepared to spend a bit of time with this guy and care for him and make sure that everything was going okay. On the following day, so he even stayed overnight. Or he took him into his own house to make it practical for us. I don't know how many of you guys have got spare rooms. I don't know how many of you guys would be happy to have unsaved people staying in your home overnight. Because it doesn't say the bloke was saved who got beaten up. It just says a man. And, you know, are we prepared to, if need be, have somebody stay overnight or for a few nights in our homes because either they're homeless or they don't have somewhere to go or things are trying to be worked out or they need a bit of space or whatever? There's the practical reality of the circumstances of life that people are in. And many of you might have been in those yourself at some stage in your life before you came to know the Lord. And sometimes we can act out of fear if we're not careful rather than out of faith and say, well, if they're not saved, I don't want them in my house. Somebody might call you from the church office or from a life group leader might call you and say, hey, there's a situation going on. Can you tonight or for the next two nights put somebody up? Now, that might inconvenience us. But actually, at that moment, there's an opportunity for God to do something. Why are we talking like this today? Because there's a reality of what's going on out there. And there's just the reality of what it means for the harvest. What it means for people's lives. Let's just look at the last couple of words in this sentence. Then he cared for him. On the following day, he gave two silver coins to the innkeeper. So he's prepared to... Two silver coins, that was worth quite a bit. I don't know exactly how much that was worth. With the instructions to look after him. But then what does he say? Look at this. When I return, he said, I will cover any other expense you have incurred. See, let's just kind of translate this for a moment. Out of just meeting a practical need to using these words to see, well, what does this mean into somebody's life? God wants to show us so that we see what is happening in their life, so that his compassion is released in us, so that we want to, because it says he went to him, so that we want to then go and help, bandage, do whatever, listen. That means we might have to place them into things that we have, into our own homes or vehicles or whatever it might mean practically. We might need to take them somewhere, take them either to our own homes or whatever, or take them to a situation of safety or even go to their homes in their situations to care for them, to invest time in them, to build relationship with them. Because how many of you know that people are not a project? But then the guy stayed overnight. So he's thinking, this isn't just to meet this in this moment, but I'm going to come back the next day. Because I'm looking for a long term. I'm not just looking for influence. I'm looking for kingdom rule and reign in this situation. So he stays overnight. But then the instruction he gives to the guy is, look, here's some money. I've got some other things I've got to do. So you look after him. You carry on. This is why we're a body. So we're not saying you come across a situation and you've got to deal with it on your own. There's a body of people that can come around somebody's life and begin to help in different ways. But he says, so he stayed overnight, spends some time, gives a little bit of money, and he says, now when I come back, I'll cover anything else that is costed. So it's costed, that's not a word. Anything else, it's cost. But it uses the word, I will cover. When people don't know Jesus, they have no cover. They are just a target for the enemy. But when we know Jesus, suddenly we have a cover or a protection over our lives. And therefore, those that we begin to reach out to, or the Holy Spirit shows us, and we begin to reach out to them, whoever they are, whether they're friends already, whether they're people that we've just met, and it's just a new friendship that's going to develop, and a new scenario, which can be even more challenging in terms of your schedule and changing things around. But it then says he covered whatever it was going to. And there's an aspect of us that when we begin to reach into people's lives, we then, there's a covering that can come over their lives, because we're beginning to pray for them. We're beginning to believe for them and with them, or certainly for them initially. We're beginning to invest something into their life. So we want to cover what's going on in their life. And so there's the practical reality: seeing, feeling, wanting, helping, placing, taking, caring, paying for, returning. Because why? We want to make disciples. You see, we're not after just a result. We're after making disciples. See, events in and of themselves, you can see a result in an event, but we don't just want a result. We want the process. We want to see people being made disciples, because that's where the rule and reign of God really begins to take place. It's like the stronghold stuff we did recently with the guys. If we just had a few events during 40 days, you wouldn't have been impacted in the way that you were. It's because there was a process that went on, that something begins to dig deeper into your life, and more of the rule and reign of God is then established, because you're making choices, because it's a daily walk, to live under that rule and reign. And just by having three or four events in 6 weeks, in and of themselves, wouldn't have had the same effect in people's lives, because events can impact you, but the thing that really changes you or transforms you is the walk that you then work out. And this Samaritan, or Jesus, understood it. That's why he used this kind of scenario and said it wasn't just the Samaritan dropped him off or met his need on the side of the road and said, "See you later, mate, I've got something else to do." He said, "I'll take you somewhere, I'll care for you, look after you, stayed overnight, I'll be back, because I want to make sure that everything's covered in your life, everything's sorted now in your life." So it cost the guy something. As in the next few weeks, you know, we've got the Love Horsham week, where we're already doing a whole load of things in particularly Roffey and South Holmes, part of Horsham. And Love Horsham week itself is really just putting more resource of people, us, into that in a given week, into things we're already doing in terms of reaching the community. As part of that, at the end of the week, on the Saturday, we have the fun day in the Roffey Recreation area. And, you know, for us, we want to host that day and create the best community environment that this community has ever known. Because we are a community of people. And the church is probably the best body of people that can define community more than anybody else out there. And so we want to define community life, family life, and all of that kind of stuff. So we want to host that day. There's going to be at least 2,000 people there on that day, which is going to be an awesome opportunity. But what we want to do by hosting is actually connect with people, that every one of us that is there is a hoster, is a greeter, is a welcomer. It is part of helping to make that day happen, that we're interacting with people, talking with people, greeting people, and all of that. That it's not just an event we're putting on and we turn up and the few people with big Love Horsham t-shirts on, you know, do. But all of us, that we see this as an extended family opportunity, an extended family moment for the people that are going to be coming. On the Sunday here, we're going to be... we've only got the use of this room because the hub's being refurbed during that time. But on that particular morning, we're going to have, you know, a whole number of people here that maybe the first time they've ever been to a church, certainly maybe the first time they've been to this one. And we want to host them, greet them, welcome them, create a brilliant environment for people to come into on that particular Sunday. And all the children are going to be together with us. We're all going to be together that day. And we want to have a great atmosphere and a great environment that is part of that whole week and that weekend. Is that all right? And so that when people come, they might, I mean, that's fun day, is an expression of church life. What we do here on a Sunday morning is an expression of church life. And so we want them to encounter church life, who we are. When you say church life, God's life, basically, not church life. You know, people need to encounter the life of God amongst us. Whether it's in a recreation area or whether it's in a building, they need to encounter and experience that. And so that might be what we call kingdom influence, but we want that to become kingdom rule and reign in people's lives. We're doing the hub at the back of the building, or the front of the building there. You know, why are we doing that? Because increasingly, God wants us to become much more the hub of our community, of people's lives. We want to use the facility that we have in a much more full way throughout the whole week, whether it's this part, that part, the rooms upstairs, whatever it might be. We want to make maximum use of what we have, because we want to become much more of a hub of life of what's going on in Roffey, in South Holmes, in the whole of Horsham. You know what? If you look at a map of Horsham, okay, and you look at the whole town, if you put a pin in the centre of what is Horsham town, this building, this end of Foundry Lane, this building is the centre of Horsham town. When we saw it out on a map a while ago, it was like, brilliant. Because the town centre is on the south side of what is called Horsham. But when you look on a map and you go right from what is called Horsham north and to the south and west to the east, and you put the middle point, this building is it. This, the right at the end of Foundry Lane, this is. And so God has put us, in one sense, right at the heart of the life of Horsham. Right? And so we want to make sure that we're right at the heart of the life of Horsham by who we are. What's going on? Same in June. You know, we've got over 4,000 people will be coming to the fun day in June. What an amazing opportunity. That many unsaved people that we can connect with, host, spend time with, have some kingdom influence with, even see people on that day as well as the Sunday, God's rule and reign come into their lives. That these aren't just things we're doing for ourselves, but actually it's part of God's kingdom influence initially, but then his rule and reign coming into people's lives. So how we host people, greet people, serve people, and all of that is key to connecting with people in their lives and seeing his rule and reign. For me, I'm praying into seeing 100 people being saved, born again, between now and Faith Camp. We're reaching thousands of people over these next 2 or 3 months. 100's kind of like, not just 100 saved, but they get added, they become disciples. God's rule and reign coming into their lives. Amen. And so the hub is part of that. And we're going to just have the special offering in a minute, the third one, the one for this month. And at the moment, we've got about 30,000 for the hub and what needs to happen there. We need to see probably in terms of getting final prices and quotes and everything that is needed from builders and all the bits and pieces when it all kind of comes together, we need to see just a little bit more than 30,000 come in on top of what we've already got. The building work is due to be starting a week tomorrow, and we've got a building company who are going to do all the building work. There's some other things that we can do ourselves that's not building work as such, but the building work itself is about 46,000, 47,000 to do all the stuff, which includes a whole new floor back there, and then there's I don't know exactly how much on top it is that we need to do ourselves. There's about another 15 to 20 in terms of stuff we need to buy and all of that kind of thing. So we're looking at just over 60,000. Okay, that's not going mad on the place back there. That is trying to do it at the best price we can for what we need to do. But it's partly because I know it's called the hub, but we need to, because we want to use the building to be much more the hub of community life and what is going on and how we use the resource, really, that God has blessed us with, and that we use it to the maximum. And so so today is the third one of our offerings, and that we can sow into people's lives over these next coming years in terms of how we use the building back there. And so I want to encourage you, hopefully you've been praying into what God wants you to give and sow into the whole thing, but certainly today, if you haven't, I want to encourage you to actually go away and pray and ask the Lord to speak to you about what you need to sow into the development of the hub there and what it represents in terms of for our own use, for just general church stuff that we do, but also all the stuff we're doing out reaching out into the community. I know a number of different people have spoken to me and said as they've been praying, God's really spoken to them and about giving and sowing and all of that. And I know some of you, it's been a bit of a faith stretch. And I think sometimes it's good that we have a faith stretch when we do things like this, because it's all part of the vision and where we're going. I think if we just give within our means and it's comfortable to do so, well, I can afford 50 quid so I can do that. It's like, no, come on, we want to stretch beyond that and sow into the purpose of what God is doing. And I know a number of you again have said to me that God spoke to you about giving, not telling me amounts, but God said to you about the first offering to put a certain amount in to sow it and to believe for a certain amount to come back. And you've seen that amount come back. And then you put that in the second offering, believing then for God to... So you've done it as sowing and reaping. And that's a biblical principle in terms of finances and giving. Because then if you sow, how many of you know, like last week, Steve said something brilliant. Oh, no, he didn't. He said it on the leaders' night. He said, if you've got a 15-acre field, but you only sow for 10 acres, how much are you going to get? But if you sow for 15, you're going to get 15. And so he kind of talked for a few minutes on giving to all the leaders that were there to kind of challenge everybody, really, not to do with an offering for the hub, but just to do with finances as a leader, how you need to see your finances in relation to leadership, and what you sow into is what you're going to reap. And so if you sow a certain amount saying, well, I can only do that, then you're only going to see that. Whereas if you say, right, I'm going to sow this to grow and to see an increase, then I'm going to sow beyond this little thing here. I'm going to sow into that because that's the increase that I want to see. So I want to encourage you, if you don't know what to give, better not to give today and say and ask, go away and ask the Lord, okay, what do you want me to sow into the development of the building for the vision and what is going on? If you do know, brilliant. You can gift aid it by putting it in an envelope and the finance office can then get the tax back on that. Certainly if you put your information on the front, then we can do that as well. Is that okay? Yep. Let's just stand for a moment. It'd be good if we have the band up. It'd be good just to pray for a few minutes and just respond to what God's been saying to us this morning. So just turn to somebody next and say, who's your miracle? Now turn to them and say, you have miracles waiting to happen. Okay, you ready? Just let's close our eyes for a moment. Let's just respond and talk to the Lord for a minute. God wants you to have not just kingdom influence, but he wants you to see kingdom rule and reign. God has appointed you. He's commissioned you. He's anointed you. He's ordained you. He's set you apart. Amen. Ordain is to have holy orders. He's appointed you, which means he's given you holy orders to bear fruit and fruit that's going to remain. So that's what God has appointed for you, fruit that's going to remain. So that's more than influence, that is rule and reign. Because God's rule and reign remains. It's eternal. Thank you, Jesus. But then there's the practicality of the Samaritan, as we've seen, and what that involves. I don't know about you, but I've been praying and saying, God, I need to move from like to want. Not that I've been stuck in like, because we do certain things, reach people in different ways. But it's like, Father, I want to live in the want, where I'm available to be interrupted, for you to change my schedule, for you to do stuff. So if you know you're in that situation this morning, I want to move, Father, from like to want. Maybe there's been some fear there. Well, I don't know what to do. I wouldn't know what to say. So fear has had more of an effect on you than faith. And God's encouraging us at this time that the gospel is the power of God for the salvation of those who believe. That you don't have to try and get somebody saved. You don't have to try and meet their need in your own strength and effort. God's given you all the resources that you need. But there is a step of faith that's required, saying, Father, I trust you at this moment that you'll give me the words, or I'll just know how to act, or I'll have your wisdom, whatever. But you're only going to get that release of the Holy Spirit when you take a step of faith. You only see the goodness of God released when you take a step of faith. So just initially say, Father, I ask you that you would open the eyes of my heart. Open my eyes to see people the way that you do. Father, I don't want to walk past my miracle this week. I don't want to walk past somebody else's miracle that you want to do in their life this week. Father, I want to apply the word this week and be available for whatever miracle you want to do in somebody else's life this week. Whether that's laying hands on somebody and they recover, whether it's speaking your word to them, sharing with them, and the gospel being the power for salvation that you reveal who you are into somebody's life. Father, whether it's people needing wisdom, whatever it is, Father, I'm available. And I want to draw on the full resource of who you are in me this week. I thank you, you've already given me your compassion because I have your Holy Spirit. And I thank you this week when you show me a need, you show me inside somebody's life, I thank you for the release of compassion for that person's life that then's going to move me to respond to whatever you want to do in their lives, Father. Father, I don't just want to see temporal stuff. I want to see eternal stuff. Yes. Father, I don't just want to see a couple of people pray a prayer or have a quick response. Father, I want to see and make disciples. And that's something we're going to look at a bit more over these next month or two as part of what's going on. Father, I thank you for every person here that you've anointed them. Just thank the Lord that you're anointed, that you're empowered by the Holy Spirit. Thank you that you have His grace upon your life. Thank you that His favor is upon your life. Thank you that you have His wisdom. Thank you you have His authority. So you're just bringing yourself under His lordship in a fresh way, His rule and reign, so that you can then see His rule and reign through your life. So just bring yourself under His rule and reign. Father, I bring myself under your rule and reign, under your lordship. Lead me, Holy Spirit, this week. Thank you for the sensitivity of being led by you this week into different people's lives, whoever it may be, whatever the situation. And I thank you that I have the full resources of whatever I need for that situation. Praise your awesome name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Are you happy? Let's just get the offerings ready. If you want to hold it for a moment, whatever you're going to sow into the development of the hub back there. Let's just pray. Father, I thank you for what you've put on our hearts to give, to sow. Father, I thank you for the increase of this seed. That when a seed goes into the ground, then has to die in order for the life that is in it to burst out and to break open. That then produces something that is far more than what that seed looked like in the natural. And so, Father, I thank you that as we sow and give with faith right now, by faith, and we put the seed in, no matter how much it is, Father, I thank you as we seed now the ground that we're sowing into, to see the hub developed, sown into people's lives that are going to be transformed, made disciples. I thank you that you multiply this seed many times over, that you multiply it back into people's lives, Father, as people give. Father, I thank you for those who are giving with faith right now, because that's the only way to give today. I thank you that you are going to supply more than they can ask or imagine back into the situations of their lives. I thank you, Jesus. Praise your awesome, wonderful name. Thank you, Jesus. Let's, as we give to the Lord, let's just rejoice for a few moments.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.